Greetings, Liddell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series Voices. This adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. In this political season in Slidell, we've been talking to some of the candidates, and this morning we will as well to talk to Councilman Bill Borchardt about his candidacy and what's happening in the future. So welcome, Bill. Glad you're here.
Thank you, Bob. Good to see you again.
Hey, you've been on the show many times for many different reasons. This is probably the first political thing we've done, talking about candidacy and stuff like that. Can I ask you to introduce yourself a little bit to our listening audience?
Sure, I'd love to. I'm Bill Borchardt. I'm a Slidell City Councilman representing District G, the northernmost district here in Slidell. It covers Country Club, Brookwood, and Tanglewood Crossing. I've been on the council now for about 9 years. I've run unopposed the last three elections, one to finish Representative Cromer's term and then two of my own. I'm term limited out in the district, and so I've qualified to be a candidate and hope to be elected to the councilman, one of the two councilmen at large seats in the upcoming race on March 24th.
Excellent. What keeps you in politics?
The desire to serve. I was just telling my wife this morning that, you know, when she and I met, we met at a little coffee shop up the street, up Robert Boulevard, and the lady that owned the coffee shop asked me one day. She said, "Bill, if money didn't matter, what would you do with your life?" And it kind of caught me by surprise. I mean, she is a friend, and so I was kind of shocked by the question. Plus, it was early in the morning. I hadn't had my Diet Coke yet, and so I said, "You know, I'll have to get back to you." And I grabbed it and I went and sat down at the table, and of course, got in discussion with some friends and gave that a lot of thought. And towards the end of our time there at the coffee shop, I went back up to the owner's name is Laura, just like my wife's, but a different Laura. And I told her, I said, "You know, Laura," I said, "I've been giving that some thought. And if money wasn't an object, and I had all the time in the world, I'd probably want to be a missionary somewhere. Not necessarily the same place, but I love to travel, and it'd be fun to go to different places and do mission work." And I said that, you know, and she said, "Well, why would you pick that?" And I said, "Well, because I like helping people." Of course, my wife and I have been on mission trips to Spain and Africa, and our kids have been to Nicaragua and different places, and so we just enjoy helping people. And so that's part of the reason that I got into politics, is I was in prayer about, "Lord, what would you have me do?" And felt called into public service and helping our community.
Well, that's a wonderful attitude to enter politics with. It almost takes the word politics away and going back to public service.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. And it is. It's all in your perspective. You know, if you're there to help people, you look at yourself as a public servant. If you're there for yourself, then you're probably there for on your own political power and your own ego, for lack of a better word.
Amen, amen. Well, you served District G well.
Thank you.
And now you're getting ready to serve the entire population of Slidell. What are some of the issues that the hot buttons? What's going on nowadays that maybe we need to be thinking about and need to support our candidates in the future? What's happening in Slidell?
Well, you know, there's a couple of obvious things relative to South Louisiana. We have poor soil and poor base, and so we're always going to have issues relative to roads. We're low elevation, so we're always going to have drainage issues, flooding concerns, and those kind of things. As leaders within the city, the mayor, the council, it's our job to seek funding to help alleviate those as much as we can. Obviously, events like Katrina are almost impossible to fund a mechanism that would keep a catastrophe like that from happening. But as leaders, we need to have the vision to look forward to protect our citizens, our lives, and as well as our property. The other issue that I see within the city is relative to economic development. Slidell has been fortunate since the late 70s to see almost an explosive growth of population and retail. And we have we and the parish have more or less survived on sales tax. And with everybody doing online shopping and local sales taxes not being collected and remitted to the municipalities and to the parish, we're seeing decreases in sales tax revenue, and so is the parish. And so we need to, as leaders, get creative and find technology jobs or manufacturing jobs or those kind of jobs that bring employment in, where somebody like, for instance, if we had an Amazon distribution center here in Slidell, the jobs would be here and the paychecks would be coming from California. And rather than me giving you $20 and you giving it to the grocer and the grocer giving it to the farmer and the farmer paying for the diesel and then the diesel guy paying it to me for whatever and passing that same $20 bill around, we're actually having an influx of outside money coming in and stimulating the economy and helping it to grow. And that's kind of been my focus since I've been on the council. You know, I look at the marina as a potential revenue from, you know, boaters that are coming down and want to see the New Orleans area. They may come down the Mississippi River and the Ten Tom and come over from Mobile, and they may stay in Slidell and take a train or a bus into New Orleans and spend the day in New Orleans and then come back to Slidell and stay on their boat. They'll feel safe, and they'll bring their out-of-town money in, and they'll spend it at some of our local restaurants. Maybe they'll take their bicycles up to Rouse's and buy some groceries and those kind of things. And that's an influx of outside money that we have the opportunity to help stimulate the economy. So,
well, that's interesting that you would mention opportunity in the same sentence as issues, that every issue can be an opportunity if we choose to make it so.
Oh, sure.
As well as things like the marina. And of course, kudos to you, to the mayor, and to the city council since Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
We were caught in a bad place, and I think a lot of good stuff has happened since then. The increased pumping capacity with retention ponds and other things to help to prevent a repeat of some of the issues. Like you said, we can't protect
right.
completely, but some of the issues. Yet, as you said, there's still more that can be done.
Well, there's always going to be more that can be done. There's never enough time or money to solve all of the world's problems. That's just a given. Yeah, some of the things that I'm excited to actually have been a part of, and obviously the marina project. I wrote the federal grant that the city received $1.5 million towards that project out there. The reason that I wrote the grant was that we got from FEMA after Katrina, we got notice that they would pay to replace the sidewalk, but not the rotting bulkhead and the base that had actually washed out in Katrina. So it didn't make any sense to me that they would give us the money to replace a sidewalk but not the hole underneath it. And so I read in one of my boating magazines that there was this federal grant out there for boating infrastructure.
Okay.
And so I approached Ben Morris, talking to him about it, and then of course his comment to me was, well, Freddie's going to be your next mayor. Get with him and see if he's interested in pursuing it. So I met with Freddie and spelled out to him what the grant was all about. And essentially, it would have cost us somewhere between $1.4 and $1.5 million to replace the rotten bulkhead. And so with the grant, we have a $2.6 million project that includes repairing and replacing the rot on the bulkhead, putting in a new sidewalk, putting in floating docks and a marina with power and water for boats. And it ended up costing the city $1.1 million for our portion of that project. So in essence, we saved about $400,000 of local taxpayer money by getting this grant, and we got the marina as a bonus. So it's kind of a win-win-win for everybody. The city gets the beauty of it for these events that Cultural Arts has down there. We have the Bayou Jams on Sunday evenings, and now you'll be able to bring your boat up there, pull up to the floating dock, tie it off, and come in and actually enjoy the concert. The festivals that go on there, you'll have the same opportunity. And I expect it to have things like the Sea Ray Owners Group, the Hatteras Owners Group. They do these things called rendezvous where they get together for a weekend. And I expect they'll come to the marina and use it as well.
Well, that's an exciting project looking forward into the future, taking what was a negative. I've got $1.5 million that I need to do for public safety and security and turning it into spending only two-thirds that much. And getting a whole lot more.
Exactly.
With more opportunity.
Exactly. You know, the other thing that excites me about it is it right where we're putting in 9 slips with a pump out station and power and water for boats, right behind that, directly behind that, is the Superfund site, the old creosote plant.
Uh-huh.
And I'm excited because the EPA and the DEQ has told the city of Slidell that when this project is complete, they plan to to showcase it as a gold star restoration of a Superfund site.
Really?
Yeah, and so they plan to use the city of Slidell to say, look, we had the Superfund site from the 80s, and look what it is now 30 years later.
That's awesome. That's leadership.
Exactly. But you know, it's a team, though. You know, the mayor and the council get along well. We work well together. I'm one spoke in the wheel that runs the city, and the reality is that without a good team, you know, I was on a council once that fought with the mayor and nothing got done. And I can tell you, you know, Mayor Drennan's leadership and willingness to work with the council and keep us informed has been phenomenal. So,
you know, it occurs to me, and just in listening to you describe these things, that networking, knowing people. The other night at the mayor's forum, somebody said taking a seat at the table.
Yes.
Just knowing who's doing what and being involved with different interests in a community has really made a difference. The fact that even the council can network with itself.
Correct.
To talk about issues and how are we going to solve this problem, guys, and kind of working cooperatively. So looking forward to the future, how does all that work together with the councilman at large? What do you see as the responsibilities of that office? And we've got a mayor.
Right.
Who's the citywide leadership. So what does the councilman at large really do that makes a difference?
Well, remember now, we have, back from the old high school civics class, we have two separations of government. On the federal level, you have three. You have the Supreme Court, the Senate and Congress, and then the president. On the local level, we have the mayor, which is the administrative side, and then we have the council, which is the legislative side. We actually make the laws, and then he is tasked with enforcing them. And so it's kind of an interesting standpoint from the, you know, our forefathers and their wisdom of separating those powers. But having served on the council, I can tell you that quite often our constituents will reach out to the mayor and to council members based on whatever concerns they may have. And so as an at-large candidate, there may be a council member who, for whatever reason, is not receptive or what have you. And so it gives the citizens two other individuals to reach out to if they're having a problem in their neighborhood or within a council district and they're not getting the kind of response they want. They don't necessarily have to go to the mayor's office. It gives them, you know, representation on the council as well.
Okay, well, we'll be electing two at large.
Yes, sir.
What do you think the wisdom is in having two at large?
You know, that's a good question, and I guess the thought is that I would imagine that the founders of Slidell were thinking north and south because there was a lot of growth going on back then, and they were either thinking north and south or east and west, and so they thought, you know, if it's just one. And that, you know, like, for instance, I live up here in Country Club. If it's just one, he's only going to represent the north side. He's not going to represent the south side. Or he lives out by the mall, and he's not going to represent us that live over in Breckenridge and Sterling Oaks. I think with having two, it gives you an opportunity to have individuals that live, you know, for instance, the three candidates that are in this race for the two seats that are available. I live on the north side. Councilman Pichon lives in Old Town. And Mr. Frout lives over off of West Hall on the west side. So the city will be well represented based on two of those three being elected. You know, so I guess that was the thought of our city founding fathers in their wisdom of choosing two.
Well, it seems like it almost forces cooperation. Yeah, we were talking about the value of networking and talking to other people and getting a variety of opinions to be able to come up with what's best for the greater good. And it seems like having two, I guess you would almost say overlapping responsibility with geographical distinctions, to be able to work together, be able to sit down and to provide overall leadership to the people who are interested in their districts, which is good, which is good, it's the way it should be, but to be able to see overall concerns from the legislative side of business.
Well, and sometimes, like it or not, sometimes the council members at large are the referee between the districts. And as an example, as legislators, we deal with the budget. And if I say to you, Bob, we have $2 on this particular item, and we have seven districts, who gets it? And now, as an at-large member, I have one vote of nine. The other at-large member has one vote of nine. And so now, you, if you want both dollars, have to convince at least two other of your colleagues to give you the $2. When in reality, if there weren't at-large candidates, you'd have to convince four others to get a majority of five of the nine, or, you know, in that case, you'd have to have four of the seven if there were no at-large candidates. But it also gives the at-large the opportunity to negotiate, for lack of a better word, you know, something that's good for the whole city. Obviously, as a district councilman, your responsibility and your loyalty is to the district. But as an at-large, we would look more at the whole city and say, okay, yes, this benefits. For instance, my philosophy has always been that we should do the worst roads first, regardless of the district. I've had a lot of bad roads in my district, but 90% of the roads in my district are concrete, and they're more expensive than the asphalt. Now, we're getting a lot of the roads done, but the reality is that my philosophy has always been that if there's a road that's worse than all the other roads in Slidell, that one should be fixed first. And so one of the things that I found out, you know, obviously my wife and I are very invested in real estate within the city limits and around Slidell. And so we're affected pretty much by every district because of the properties that we own. And so I guess that's part of the reason I've had more of the universal Slidell mentality than just a district. But sometimes you got to fight for your district. I'm happy to say that I've got some money from the last general obligation bond tax to do West Pinewood Country Club, West Pinewood Drive in Country Club, and that's going to be about $1.5 million project. So
awesome.
Yeah. So,
well, good.
So it's good to be both, you know, I think it's good, but I think it's also good that at-large candidates have district experience. I think somebody coming in and just, you know, as a relative newcomer into a race like this, I think sometimes they don't have the knowledge of having to deal with a district first, and I think that's important.
So much of legislation, I believe, is reactive.
Yes.
To be able to say, oh, we got a problem. Here's a logical solution. We can fix that problem. Creating an ordinance, building codes, enforcement, providing for those things in a budget and so on. But also a large part of leadership is looking to the future.
Right.
What are some of the areas that you've already talked about that a little bit. Could you expand a little bit for us on what are some of the key points that we need to invest ourselves in for the future?
Well, obviously with sales tax diminishing and you know, actually the mayor and I were talking about this last night, the fact that it's not only is it diminishing, but there's a possibility that these brick and mortar stores are going to go away with the online shopping and everything else. And so we really need to, number one, we need to have an educated work base. We have to have a workforce that companies are willing to come in and hire, and that workforce needs to be hireable. And so that's the key. Number one, the key is that we need to, and we do, fortunately, in St. Tammany, have very educated workforce and very good workforce. Obviously, the other thing we need to look at is things besides sales tax and retail to generate revenue within the city. And I say within the city, we probably only have 100 acres of undeveloped land. If you take Pinewood out of it, we probably only have about 100 acres of undeveloped land within the city limits. And so the opportunity to bring a Toyota plant to Slidell is pretty much non-existent. But there's thousands of acres between here and Lacombe that if a Toyota plant came in, it would directly benefit Slidell. And so we as city leaders need to have those relationships that you talked about with the parish government and with state government, with our state representatives and state senators and those individuals that should someone like a Toyota, Nissan, whoever, Ford, Chevy, decide that you know what, we want to move to Louisiana and we want to move to St. Tammany because we like the fact that there's low crime. We like the fact that they have the best education, one of the best education systems in the state, and that's where we want to move to. We have to have those relationships in place to be able to work with our state reps, our state senators, the governor, and our parish council members. I'm excited to say that when I was a council president a couple years ago, I put together a caucus of city and parish council members. So the seven parish council members that serve the citizens of Slidell, we meet quarterly. We have four council members from the city At the time it was, and it still is, but at the time it was the president and vice president of the council, and then the two at-large candidates. And the four of us have been meeting now for a couple of years, quarterly, with parish council members. And it's a very informal meeting, and it's really to discuss, this is what the city has coming up, this is what the parish has coming up, how can we work together to make these things happen. When the parish started talking about a retention pond over by Ochsner Hospital, told us this is what's going to go on, we need to have the canals dug out under the interstate, can city and the parish team together and get that done? And of course the mayor was 100% on board, and so was Pat Brister, and so we got that done. We've been working with them. They're talking about putting in a retention pond next to the retention pond that we have on Robert Boulevard, and we're working with them to solve some of the drainage issues that affect not only Jay Newcomb in my district, but all of the homes on the other side of I-12 that drain through Slide L and out into the marsh. So I think it's important. I think you hit on the key in the very beginning, is the fact that a good public servant has the relationships with others to make things happen and move not only the municipality or the city forward, but the parish and the state as well. And I think those are important issues to remember, that, you know, if you have an individual that's just argumentative all the time, they're not going to get, you know, what's the old saying, you get more with sugar than vinegar, or I don't remember how it goes, but something along that line. But yeah, honey works a lot better than vinegar, I guess, for you know. And it's important that we have those relationships with other people outside of just the city, so that we know what's going on and they know what's going on.
Interesting.
The Tammany Trace is a prime example of that. You know, a lot of people are asking, the Tammany Trace has been in Covington for 20 years. They celebrated a 20th anniversary last year. How come it's not into Slide L yet? How come it's not into Heritage Park? We've been working with parish leaders since before Freddie was elected, so 7.5 years ago, to bring the Trace into Heritage Park. I'm happy to say that the council voted last night to fully fund the Trace into Heritage Park.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, and the beauty of it is that the city put up $600,000 and the parish put up over $1 million. And so it's a team effort. It's not just the mayor and the city council, but it's also the parish president and the parish council that made it happen. Because remember, there's only 7 of 14 that represent the east side. So somebody on the other side had to vote to fund the Trace and Slide out. So, you know, we talked earlier about those relationships, and remember the $2 scenario that I gave you. Somebody over there in Mandeville or Covington or Abita or Folsom had to give up one of their dollars to Slide L for us to get the Trace. And so, you know, we're grateful to them for bringing it into Slide L. You know, I'm excited to actually be a part of that team as well.
Amen. Well, lots of good stuff has happened in Slide L since Katrina. Lots to be proud of, lots to do on the weekends. The festivals that have come to town, the wonderful restaurants that we have here, fishing and hunting, boating.
Sportsman's Paradise.
Sportsman's Paradise. I mean, it's a great place to live. And I think it's because of the leadership of the last several years in general. Like you said, we all go together.
Right.
I could be talking to the star himself right now, but if the star didn't have a lot of other stars around him, it'd be a pretty dark sky.
Exactly.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you talking to us. Any last words you'd like to leave with us as we wrap this up?
I just thank you for the opportunity, Bob.
It's good to speak to you. Thank you again. Thank you for your service in the past, and good luck in the future.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you, Slide L, for tuning in to Grace Radio today. You can give us a call at 985-250-1037. Send us a text, leave a comment, and if Councilman Borchardt said something today that piqued your interest, let us know about it. We'd encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio Slide L. Also, check in on our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can check our programming, articles of interest, and you can also make tax-deductible donations to support our station. And again, give us a call at 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again daily for Voice of Slide L at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slide L.